This episode of the NetMums podcast is brought to you by Aldi Mamaia. If you're a first time or a new parent, there's a lot you don't realise you'll suddenly have very strong opinions on. Car parking bays, the price of fresh fruit, screen time, and also nappies. Because no one wants a nappy nightmare in the middle of the night or during a busy playgroup session. And let's not talk about the potential disasters that can happen on a long car journey. Oh no. In those early weeks through to the toddler phase, you need all the support you can get and products that you can trust. And that includes your child's nappies. Parents in the NetMums community really rate Aldi Mamaia's award-winning nappies. They're what we like to call the smart nappy, specially designed with dedicated P-zones for boys and girls, because babies really do wee differently. Aldi Mamaia's nappy architects discovered that girls tend to wee more in the middle of the nappy, boys more towards the front, and Mamaia nappies are designed to draw liquid across the whole core for better absorption. They've also got leak lock pockets to help contain blowouts. Need we say more? 360-degree leakage protection and a soft, flexible fit that moves with your baby. Practically leak-proof. What's not to like? And they're dermatologically tested and suitable from newborn, which is reassuring when everything touching your baby's new delicate skin suddenly feels important. Thoughtfully designed, parent approved, and made for real life. You can find Aldi Mamaia nappies in store now. Hello and welcome back to the NetMums podcast, where real parenting conversations happen. I'm Louise Burt, the editorial director of NetMums.
And I'm JB Gill, a dad of two, a presenter and a farmer as well. And we're here to talk all things parenting and get advice from experts on the things that matter most. How are you doing, Louise?
I am good today. I've got a spring in my step. The sun is shining. And I tell you what, it makes parenting life easier, right? Those late night pickups from dance class, football practice. It's, you know, there's no rain, there's no darkness. Everyone's happy when they come out of school. The weekend stretching in front of us. I'm thinking park days. It just makes life easier. How about you?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm definitely in spring mode and it's so nice. It makes such a difference. But to be honest, like we're going through a bit of a crazy busy period at the moment for me. Chloe's away with Ace, our eldest.
Yes, and
he's doing some filming, which is really, really cool. It's a series two to something that he did last year, which is really exciting. And he's really happy and obviously excited about it. But then it just means that the two of us are kind of split in two.
Solo parenting. That's what you say. Are you moaning parenting about solo parenting?
I'm not moaning. No, it's just different. I don't usually do it. You know, we had on Lou Beckett a couple of weeks ago talking about default parenting. I definitely do think I default parent in certain instances when we're together, but it's a completely different prospect when you are by yourself, you know, and obviously Chloe does it often. I don't do it so often, but you definitely miss your psychic, don't you?
You're doing some real parenting, solo parenting. Well, today's guest is someone who really embodies that phrase, real parenting, real life, and just on a slightly bigger scale.
Yeah, well, wait, when you say bigger, try seven kids bigger.
We are talking the realities of raising multiple kids and how to grow with them. She's a mum of seven. She's a businesswoman and star of Netflix's At Home with the Furies, which is out for a second series on the 12th of April. It is Paris Fury.
Yes, Paris, welcome to the NetMums podcast.
Hi, guys. I am so honoured to be on here because I actually follow your social media. I follow your clips. I watch them. I learn from other mums. So I am a bit of a fan.
Yeah, well, likewise. Brilliant. We are hooked, and so I certainly am. My wife absolutely adores you, so she's very jealous that I'm speaking to you today.
Yeah,
thank you.
What JB and I always say is we're always learning, right? As a parent, you are always learning, so all that information is like it never goes amiss. So I want to get straight to it, Paris. I think most people do know the size of your family, but let's just spell it out: seven kids.
Yeah,
Just a few. I want to know exactly what does a normal day in your house look like? I mean, I've got a glimpse of it from the from the Netflix show. Just a little glimpse of it.
Everyone has seen it.
TV.
It is basically what you see on that show is what our life is. It is very loud, very hectic, kind of organized chaos, but it's busy like most mums. And I think I've just got used to having an extra one. So when people look and they think, oh, you've got seven kids, how do you do it? But it's like when you go from one to two to three, Some people get to 3 to 4. I think I'm one of the few that get even bigger. But you just embrace it and you just keep going and you just try and split yourself into more sections.
Do you know what? I take my hat off to you because I've got a family friend, a husband and wife, and they've actually got 8 kids. And wow. You would think that it's absolute chaos and it's mental. But actually, I think because obviously the gap between the eldest and the youngest tends to be a lot bigger.
Yeah.
It almost find its own groove and its own channel, doesn't it?
It does. It has to, because I've got that. I always class it as like a split family. I have two that is teenagers, so 14 and 16. Mm. So they, I don't class as kids. I actually say all the time, I've got 5 kids, because I class the little ones as the kids. Mm. They are like teenagers. They're old enough to sort of see to themselves until you get the teenage tantrums. And that's a whole different story. But the little crew kind of like all help each other. The big ones will help the little ones. And like, if they go out to play, it's like, you know, you watch him, you know, you mind her, stick together. You know, you've got a bit of a backup. So you kind of balance it that way. Basically, you have to, you know, hire in-house and get them all to watch each other.
I love that.
Because I think before you've talked about how sometimes you co-parent your kids with Venezuela, your eldest, who's 16, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, she's like your wingwoman. Yeah, she is. She's great because she's always been so much older for her age. So she's, where my boy who's 14, he will argue with the kids. Like the 9-year-old and the 14-year-old will like go at it head to toe. And you think like, you are meant to be a big young man. You're not meant to be doing this. But Venezuela looks at it more from a mother's point of view. So she'll like say, no, you're not doing that. I'm turning your iPad off. You're going to bed. You're in trouble. Like she takes it from an elder point of view. So she is, and she's a good girl as well for the fact that she'd say to me like, oh, mum, I'll bath them too. You date the girls, I'll take boys, or vice versa. And she is really good that way. So
very maternal instinct.
Yeah. But I also think it's in a big family, everyone has to help. Like all of my kids, even down to like the littlest one who's, well, the baby Rico, we let him off. He's 2.
Yeah.
But the girl who's 4 and the other boys and girls, they all have to do a job. So like, go make your bed. You pick up the toys. Yeah. You pick up the rubbish. You take the drag out. It's all got to balance because there is too much for me to do on my own. Even though I do a whole lot of it, there's too much on your own.
Yeah.
You've said before, I think actually when we last spoke, you talked about how ingrained you were as a child at doing chores and mucking in the house. And that's something that you've passed on to your kids as well. And I think sometimes in modern parenting, let's call it that, but we're all so busy. And sometimes, you know, it's very easy. I had it myself at breakfast this morning. Mum, can you pass us a spoon? Oh, Mum, I need a tissue. Oh, and it gets to a point where you're like, get off your backside and get a tissue. Yeah. You know, the debate about whether we should be giving our kids more chores, I know that's, I'm talking about passing a tissue, it's slightly different, but yeah, we should be, I don't know whether, look, I think I'm guilty of it. I don't think I give my kids enough chores in the house.
I think it's good to give kids responsibility. I think it learns them from a young age. And at the moment, we're kind of on a small level of bribery because I've got them. They all look at me and like, are you going to pay me? And I'm like, yes, I will give you that pound. You can have a pound if you put all the toys away. But when you've got 4 or 5 of them looking at you like, I want a pound, I want a pound.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I just have to pay you for this business.
The house has to be spotless.
they are good. They all try. And I do think it's good to try and give kids a little bit of responsibility. And as I say, in a big family, I think everybody's got to kind of pull their weight and help out because it would never work if it was just down to one person. And if everybody just threw their washing everywhere and, you know, everybody just left the dishes on the table, it's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you know what? I mean, already one of the things that strikes me is that it sounds like you are a woman and also the family are very much based on balance. So, you know, and obviously from experience, having watched the show, you know, things, as with any family, always get a bit out of balance sometimes. So if you will, as honestly as possible, can you share with us your parenting high?
My parenting high, like what, like my best point of parenting?
Yeah, what you'd say.
Because we talk a lot about highs and lows at Netmums. And
yeah, so I know that one's coming next. If you've asked what's the high, we've got to know what's the low. My high would be, genuinely, as a parent, is like when you go to a restaurant and your kids all sit down, or if we travel a lot, so we're on planes and airplanes and travel a lot, and when someone comes over and says, your kids are so well-mannered, your kids are so good, but completely switch it up on the other end of the Richter scale is when you're getting tutted at and people are looking and giving the side eye when one of them's running laps around the, you know, the dinner table, or one of them's like taking a tantrum on the plane. But on the good days, the highs is when someone actually comes over and says, you know what, your kids are really well mannered. And you sit back and think, you had no reason to do that. And yeah. that is lovely to hear. It's like good feedback, isn't it? So that is a nice thing. That's a good moment.
I remember like when in those early years when I was at home with the kids, and I used to say to my husband, like, the thing is, no one's giving me feedback. Like, whereas if you go to work every day, you sit in a meeting with your boss or you do a piece of good work and you're told good piece of work, or that was great, or a great meeting. But quite often for mums at home, we don't get feedback.
No, I think for new parents, they feel that. When you're a new parent, I'm a well-experienced parent. Like, I've gone through a lot of it now.
Yes, absolutely.
So I feel like I kind of know what I'm doing. But when you are a new parent and you've got this first baby, I actually just sat and cried when I had Venezuela and she was like a couple of days old and I didn't know how to bath her. I had no idea.
You were young.
I was young, but even, I don't think it mattered if you was 27, 36 or 42 having your first baby.
Yeah.
If you haven't experienced babies, you have no idea. And I didn't come from a family. I was like, my siblings was the same age as me. My cousins lived far away. So I didn't see young babies at all.
Yeah.
So I was 19, had this new baby in arms, had no idea what to do. And thank goodness I had my mum there. My mum supported me through it. Tyson had no idea. So that was like, don't ask him for advice. So I tried to bath her. And I remember like, my mum said, go on then, bath her and I'll take a picture, first bath.
Yeah.
And I burst into tears because I didn't know how to hold this tiny little squishy human in this water. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that you need advice on. And as you say, feedback is like, you know, that's right, that's wrong. You know, you don't need that many layers. You do need this, you do need that.
Yeah.
I think if you're blessed, it's great to have some sort of family support. I know there is it the health worker or someone who comes?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Baby. But that's dropped, those services.
That 15, 20 minute visit is not enough. It's not enough input to help you really know what to do when you've already, your hormones are all out of balance. You don't know what you're doing. You're sat like, tired, drained, have this baby, and then you're trying to deal with it. So I think if you can take advice, I think it's great to take advice from other people. And I think feedback is good when you're doing good, but then you don't never really want to hear you're doing that wrong, you're doing that wrong.
Not that type of feedback. Yeah.
I was going to say, from a dad's perspective, and maybe it's just me and not necessarily something that you know, I guess all dads would do, but I did. I was definitely, you know, if I saw Chloe doing something, even now, you know, if she's, I don't know, gone up to take ASA training, then gone and picked the kids up from school, then gone and done this and gone and done that, not got home till 9:30. I always say to her, well done, babe. You got through the day, like you did a good job. Mm. And I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, but you're a good guy, JB. You're a
that's
good guy.
That's reassuring, though. That is nice. I know that Tyson will speak to me like that. It would have to be a tremendous day. It would have to look pretty hectic. But because on a casual day, it'd be like, yeah, that's life. That's life, babe. Yeah. But on a good day, on a busy day, he'd be like, oh, I don't know how you did that. That's
really?
A lot to do.
Even Tyson, he would like,
No, he has to admit it. I've seen one great thing about being like married to someone who has to do interviews like this, you see their serious thought patterns and you actually get to like watch it again and see what your partner thinks.
Yeah.
So I've seen interviews where Tyson's actually like spoke really openly about what I do and in our relationship, and he's like, give me big props. So it does feel good. So I get the good feedback there as well. So I get my feedback. It's good.
That's like free couples therapy, isn't it? Like hearing things.
It's also a bit like a superpower. You get to see what they're talking about you when you're not around.
That's brilliant. Something that stuck with me on the trailer for the new season of the Netflix show was that you said, my work is my family.
Yeah.
It's so you, even though you talk about those early days where you felt like you were in despair and wasn't sure what to do and they were hard, you've clearly cut out a job for yourself raising 7 kids that you take very seriously.
Yeah, I am now like the CEO, top dog, management, you know, highest level boss in this family.
Yeah.
I do. I class it as my family. I've been really lucky that this is my predicament. I mean, I always sort of have to say before I say this, because it could sound, you know, oh, that's easy to say for you. I am blessed that I have the possibilities to be a home, stay at home mom. You know,
the privilege, so, yeah, because it is a privilege. And
that. Absolutely.
It is a privilege. It is a privilege, and I totally acknowledge that. So for me to be at home with my kids, but even now that I do work and I do business deals and I do different things that I try and base from home, I try my best because I've been offered so many different things, but it involves travel, it involves London, it involves TV studios. Yeah. And I just say, look, that's not what I'm doing in life. I am A1 in for looking after the kids, and that's what I want to do. And I feel like that's what I owe the kids at the moment, because I'm privileged enough to do that. I owe my kids my time to look after them and put other things second tier for different priorities.
It annoys me when I think about it that I'll just loosely use that title, right? The old school title of a housewife or a stay-at-home mom. Hmm. It annoys me that doesn't get as much credit as it deserves, because probably the hardest job you could ever do. Like you said, you know, you don't get feedback. You're working sort of sometimes by yourself, especially if you've got, you know, a husband like Tyson or even like myself, you know, who's traveling and doing other bits and pieces. And it's not easy, you know. And like you say, not everybody has the support in that field, even if you have got family or whatever about. So I don't know. It really frustrates me sometimes, because it's such an incredible and important job to do, to have.
Yeah.
I think that has sort of been, you know, overlooked in the past. But I think now people do appreciate it. I think people realise that some days it would be easier to go to a 9-to-5 job. 100%. It would be easier to go and say, I get a lunch break, I get a dinner break, I get my coffee break. I have a 9-to-5 where I speak to adults, because there's a lot to be said for speaking to adults and not children all day. I mean, it's a full-time, 24-hour job. Like, I had Rico last night, and I actually said to my Venezuela this morning, I went, oh my gosh, he slept all night. He's two and a half.
Yeah.
I went, he slept all night. Like, I went to bed and I didn't wake up once through the night. Yeah. And I still woke up tired, can't lie. I woke up because I did what I don't normally do, and I played on my phone till really late last night, and like, I should have took the advantage and went to bed. But it's 24-hour job. And as most mums know who are at home with the kids all the time, it's you are the nurse, you are the cook, you are the clean, you are everything in the house. And it is hard work. It's a full-on task.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm totally with you there. It really is. I remember those dates clearly. And as joyful as it is in lots of precious moments, it is also exhausting and hard to manage for yourself. Which brings me to identity as well. So we talk a lot about having it all as well, although I think even that phrase has almost started to become a bit out of date, because the reality is, I think, we can't have it all. What's your take on that? I mean, you've said, like, you will say no to certain jobs that come up because you're very focused. But what's the answer for us then?
I think you can have a balanced of everything. I do. I'm the opposite end of that one. I think you can have it all. I think when your kids are young, you have to take the time out because they're young. So that as like baby age. But then when your kids go to school, you could find, if you wanted to work or act or, you know, sew ribbons, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Your children are in school 5 days a week, you know, for 8 hours, 6 hours, right? So in that time, you can then work and progress to do what you want to do around that. And it's like me, I work around time schedules. Like today, Rico's in nursery. He only goes 1.5 day a week. It's totally annoying. But it's 1.5 days. It's very precise. So today is his day. So today's the day I'll do like all my business calls, all my interviews, emails. I will really stick in and do that all today. Other day, I think you have to have a tight schedule. If you want to have it all, you can't just sit back and relax. I think you have to be on the ball and you've got to do it. So for me, I think you can do it. You can be a mother, you can work, but you have to have expectations that you can't go too much. Like, you can't work 40 hours like all week. You can't do more than you possibly can. I think it's it's a hard thing, and you want to be the best mother you can, and you want to put your time in your kids, but then you want time for yourself. You want that.
Yeah.
You want which is that important. Moment to sit. Yeah, you want that moment to sit and watch the television, read a magazine, scroll on your phone. We're all guilty of it. But then you also need to put that away and do your, if you want to do business, do your business side of things. I think you can have it all, but I think you have to be realistic on the limitations of what you can do. You can't be like someone who's available 24 hours a day, boss bitch, ride out, sorry. Yeah. But you can't do, you can't be like completely doing all of that, but you can still do something.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of balance.
I was going to say, the balance is tricky, isn't it? And the balance shifts as the children go through different ages.
Yeah,
exactly. And I know like things have shifted with you, and like you say, although you've got your 200, you've got your 16-year-old, and you've moved house recently as well, which has probably shifted things for you as a family. I think you're totally right. I think there's a sense of discipline and motivation. Sometimes that is hard to find. So that sort of discipline and that motivation to get your, like, right, I've got 24 hours. You know, my Monday, like you say, is the one nursery day. I need to pin down this. But that does take discipline and motivation, which sometimes can be hard to find in those exhausting early days.
It is.
As well.
I think that's why when they're young, you need to put you need to set aside, you've had a child, you need to heal, you need to take your time, and you need to do your bonding moment with your baby. If you can't, you can't. If you're really in like a financial situation where you can't do that, that is life. No, nothing's perfect in life. But if you can, if you have the opportunity to sit aside and think, right, I need to heal. I need to look after this baby. I need to get this baby of an age before it can go. Obviously, as I say, Rico's 2.5. He does a day and a half in nursery. That's ongoing now until he's 5. I've lived this for the last, I've got 5 under 9. So it's just been steps and stairs. I've been constantly busy balancing newborns and kids in school. But there is a balance. And as I say, I think you can have it all, but you have to be realistic with the limitations of it, because I can't just say, I'm going to London for 3 days. You know, especially when I did have my phone on Don't Disturb. Don't know what this is doing. Especially when Tyson's away. So me and my husband have to balance roles. Tyson, when he's here, I can say, right, I have to go to London. I have to go to Manchester. I've got trips to do. You've got the kids. Good. Great. I worry the whole time I'm gone, but still. But, you know, we worry what we're coming back to. But if he's gone in camp, then I am limited to what I'm doing, because I am sole parenting. Like you, JB, they're saying, you are solo parenting at the moment. And as you said, I think you really miss your partner. You miss that backup because it's kind of like, me and Tyson will almost split teams, or it's like, you take them for a minute, I need an hour. Like, just, we balance it that way.
Yeah.
But then when they go, you really miss them. And Tyson has been gone for, we went to Thailand in the beginning of the year, and we had a family holiday. We had 4 weeks. I came back to put the kids in school. Tyson continued to do his training camp out there for his fight. So in that, the first few weeks, it's like your hand's been chopped off.
Because
you really are like, oh my goodness, the school run again. Like, normally Tyson does the school run in the morning, I do it in the afternoon. It's then little things that you really miss. But now I am like totally bossing it again, solo parent, right there. I've got it all under control. And when he comes back, it will ruin that.
Yeah.
It will completely throw everything out of the loop.
Then you've got to reset. Yeah.
And I will have to reset. And we will have to rebalance, as we discussed before. Yeah. But that is what, I am a person that is very flexible, but some people aren't flexible. Yeah. See, I can go so easily with the flow.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas some people really don't balance that way.
Struggle,
Well, it's really interesting because it's similar to my setup with Chloe. Chloe will say exactly the same thing, because she literally be like, obviously, when I'm at home, I'm as hands-on as she is, you know, we'll go and do this, and we've got ballet and we've got whatever. And then, like you say, when I go away, and I don't often go away as long as Tyson will, but, you know, if I'm away for a couple of days, or even if I'm away for a week or two sometimes, then it kind of just throws it all out, because she gets into her own rhythm, and then she you know, I come back, and then it's almost like finding a whole new, a whole new rhythm.
You've got to do it again.
Yeah. And when you see, obviously, when you watch the show, you see the dynamic, you know, with Tyson in it, with Tyson out of it. You know, what's it like being married to a man like Tyson? And, you know, you said there was a moment where you said, you know, you weren't talking to him. And obviously you go for sometimes long periods of time, perhaps not talking to him. What is that experience like for you?
It depends who is not speaking to who.
And for what reason.
As all married couples have.
Yeah.
If it is me, see me, if we have like a disagreement, so I'm not, shadowing it over. All couples have disagreements.
Of course.
So if we have a disagreement and I stop talking, I last all of 2 days, a day. I am not one of them people. I'm like, oh, well, I've cooled down now. We're over. That's it. Tyson, to me, is like the feminine part of the relationship because he will hold it for weeks. He can hold it and he will be like telling the kids, tell your mum I need this, or tell your mum like I'm going there. And I'm like, I'm in the room. You can see me. So like we can do that. But if he's in camp, I know at his last camp, he decided to stop talking to all family, everything, and just cut down and totally knuckle into what he was doing. But it was severe for me because I really felt like I had totally
been
lost him. And I respected his choice, but it was so rubbish. Yeah. It really, really was.
Yeah. No, that's hard. I was thinking when you were talking about solo parenting, and I totally get it, Paris. I imagine you have got it ship shape and all in order. I had no doubt there whatsoever. So when Tyson comes back from his training, the house is looking great. The kids' uniforms all washed. Everything's all good. There's food in the fridge. Everything's ticking on nicely. But when you said you go away, what does the house look like when you come back?
It is. The house is tidy because Tyson's OCD, so that everything is
going. Okay.
It's good that way. I have always been blessed for that as a partner in life. He is good that way. But the kids, well, for first of all, Tyson could be anywhere when I land home. They may not be at home. He might have decided to take them on a trip somewhere, or they could be in a trailer or a caravan off somewhere or something totally random. But also I walk back in and I just look and like the kids' hair isn't done proper. So like they're so obviously scruffy, the buttons are undone, they've got no cardigan on, the socks are odd.
Yeah.
No, that's trivial and that is just it, that's actually just me being a bit shallow. But
you're
I look
petty,
and I think, that's scruffy, that's not nice. But then it's the sort of like wild list, like you know, that they may or may not have showered that day. They may or may not have went to bed last night till on the bedtime. These things just go wild. You know they haven't slept in their own beds. They've all like watched
all
the movie
gone a bit
till
feral.
11 o'clock. Yeah, they're all a bit feral, yeah. I do say that about my kids quite regular when I look around and they're like running around so much. I'm like, they're feral.
Will the older ones still chip in like they do when they're with you? Oh,
yes,
that go out the window as well.
They will. As a matter of fact, usually if I go away, I hate being anywhere on my own.
Yeah.
So I walked out the house yesterday and I was on my own for the first time in ages. And I walked out and it was so strange because I walked out, it was like, where's the babe? Where's the keys? Where's the children? Like, who's missing? And it was such a surreal moment because it doesn't feel real for me to be on my own. So if I go away for like a trip or a business trip, I usually take one of the big kids with me. Because I think I'm like that woman on Cheaper by the Dozen. You know, when you've seen her and she went for a book tour and she had all the pillows in the bed.
Yeah.
That is me. Like, if I'm actually somewhere on my own, I feel like this is weird.
You've lost something.
You know,
you've lost something.
Yeah, it's so strange. So I usually take one. So then the other one will help with the kids and help with the house and help dad sort of deal with everything. If it's Prince, it's average. If it's Venezuela, she's got it in the bag. She knows how to do it.
Yeah.
She sounds great. Talking of your kids. Kids' names, right?
Yeah.
For the choice of your kids' names, I'm interested because baby names are a huge topic for the Net Moms community. And tell us where you got your inspiration from for your baby names. And I'm interested to know when you've chosen your baby names, if you've chosen them before you've given birth, have you ever revealed those baby names to people beyond your family? And do you ever fear judgment around baby names, or would you not? How would you react if someone said, "Oh, you're calling your daughter Venezuela"? That's strange.
Well, that happened completely with my first one when I was first having
Venezuela. No judgment from me, by the way.
Yeah, no. When I had Venezuela, everybody, I had other names, other like kind of wild out there names. I always liked something unusual. Can't lie, that was me. And I think. Yeah. I think you should be able to call your child, as long as it's not an offensive word, anything you want, you know? Like, we was just talking about this last night. We was on about someone had a funny name and Venezuela, and my niece is stopping here. My niece went, that's a weird name. I went, don't judge. You're not judge. I said, because like all my kids have got weird names. They're not weird. I went, they are weird. To other people, they're weird. But then Venezuela turned around and went, I love my name. I'm the first one, the first person I know with my name, and I'm so glad I've got my name. So yep. She loves it, you know. But I think with her, back to that story, when I was getting Venezuela, I knew I was getting a girl, and I thought of these unusual names, and all my family kept going, ooh, don't like that. Ooh, don't like that. There was always somebody didn't like it and they would put you off. So then I got Venezuela. Me and Tyson were talking one night. We've come up with Venezuela. I was like, that's what we're going to call her. And I wouldn't tell none of the family. They all said, what you call her? I went, I'm not telling you. I said, you wouldn't leave me alone. You all had your negative input. I'm not telling you. So then then they finally like basically beated it out of me, like, well, you have to tell us. And I went, well, you're not allowed to judge. So they all went, well, what is it then? We won't say a thing. We won't have an opinion. I went, Venezuela. And they went, like that. And I was like, yeah, see, this is why I wasn't telling you. So yeah, that's it. But I do think you should call your child whatever you feel you want to call them. As long as it's nothing offensive, you know, that's up to you as a parent. And then I think people grow with their names, don't they? I think people like, you grow up and it doesn't sound like, I have family members and like aunts that's not aunts and things like that. And I never realized their names were strange. They wasn't actually their names. They was nicknames, but they had all their life. No one knew them as anything different. One was called Gogo and one was called Tucky. So I never realized that was unusual until I got older. It was like, oh, that's Aunt Gogo. And then years later, I went, hang on a minute, Mum. I was like a big teenager. I went, what do they call Gogo?
Yeah.
And they went, that's not the real name. I was like, oh, all right, okay. So I think a name is only funny to strange people. But as for people's reactions to my kids' names, I see it all the time on the internet. I see it all the time on newspaper articles. Oh, what did they call their children? Oh, what a terrible name. Oh, this. And it's like, if you want to be called whatever, a traditional name, Amy, Elizabeth, Jane, lovely. If you want to be called Venezuela or Queen Banana, whatever, that's up to you. That's a name. It's what your parents felt was appropriate to call you. So respect it.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, this episode of the Net Mums podcast is brought to you by Aldi Mamiya. As well as their award-winning nappies, we give their Mamiya wipes a hard recommend at Net Mums. They are a parenting essential. They're plastic-free, gentle enough to use from birth, and kind on sensitive newborn skin. Perfect for nappy changes and all the other unexpected messes no one warns you about. Head to your nearest Aldi store to explore the full Mamiya range.
Talking of Venezuela, you've been really open about all of your children's lives, but obviously Venezuela's been in the headlines in the last sort of year or so. Well, yeah, since her engagement at 16.
Yes.
To her fiancé. And you've been very open about that. Venezuela's been open about it. But you've also talked about Venezuela growing up, making choices of her own. And which sort of bleeds into conversations around how she's growing up, how she wants to look as she grows up, how she wants to look for her wedding day. And I know you're still a very young mum, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm 36, so I am young for this situation to come into my path.
And what I'm getting at, the conversation around body image, looks, how Venezuela wants to show up. You are obviously very aware. You scroll through social media. We are living in a society where comparison syndrome is like at us every second of the day. We are, you know, there's young girls out there getting lip fillers with huge lips, Botox, contouring, obsessing over contouring, plastic surgery. What are your, as a mum with now a teenage girl in the public eye growing up, and yourself in the public eye, what's your take on young girls changing their looks and their image?
I don't agree with it. I don't. I am a strong believer and would like to push forward an opinion that we are all beautiful. you know? And I'm not just saying that, but if, especially if you are a young girl at 16, you will be lovely. I mean, there is some really, really, really poor people, like people out there that have ended up with something really, really abnormal that needs to be corrected, or, you know, like a lump, a bump, a cyst, something that they've needed corrected, that they wanted corrected. That I can understand. But, okay, no one's perfect. Nobody's perfect, okay? There's always going to be somebody better looking than you. There's always going to be somebody a little bit less nice looking than you, you know? So I don't think beauty standards should be compared to an image on a magazine. I don't think it should be compared to the beautifulest woman in the world. We are all lovely. Sorry to, you know, get rid of the boys in this one, but all women are beautiful. You know, I think you can enhance yourself. I think we all like to do our hair. We like to put makeup on, a bit of lipstick. Self-presentation is really important. I do believe in that. So as much as I think...
Yeah, you strongly believe in that.
I do believe you should present yourself nicely. I don't think it's no good to kind of like scruff your hair up in a bun, throw on the tracksuit, walk out the door, you know, you haven't washed your face, you ain't even brushed your teeth, and you're wandering down the street with like a bun in. It's like, that is not a good image. And it seems to be acceptable in this day and age. It seems to be very acceptable to like not... try to present yourself. It's either all or nothing in like young generation. Like my girl can be a bit guilty of it. My Venezuela went through a phase at like 14 to 15 where it was like, but I'm not going nowhere. Why would I dress up? But I'm like, I don't want you to dress up, but like put on jeans and a tidy t-shirt, put on a little bit of makeup, then you're presentable. You look like you've took pride in yourself. So it shows the world you've got a bit of pride about yourself and you know, this is how you are.
Yeah.
But as for young girls looking at everyone else, I don't agree with young girls having cosmetic procedures just for the sake of it. You know, this lip filler thing is gone. It went crazy. I think it's calmed down because apparently clean girl aesthetic is in again. So, yeah, I don't really understand it all, but apparently that's in again. But the big giant lips, you know, there is young girls getting their face distorted where their cheeks are out here and their jaws are out here. And I mean, if you are an older woman and you feel the need for that, go you, you know. But I think it would be great if the world sort of looked at themselves and look in the mirror and don't feel uncomfortable what you've got. Work with what you have, you know, bit of makeup. I hate heavy makeup. I don't even like it. I call it a mask. Like I hate heavy makeup. I like just to see my face. And I don't think it's good for young girls to feel the need to look like, I think like, not to judge anyone from it, but... there was like that very strong only way is Essex look, wasn't there? And it seemed like everyone took the
fake
trend
tan,
over it.
Hair extensions, fillers. And the men weren't immune to it either.
No,
we're talking about girls, but the men weren't. Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, for me, you know, I definitely 100% agree with you, Paris. I grew up with a mum, again, who is very presentable. She takes, you know, massive pride in how she looks. She's always sort of like, you know, suited and booted, gets her outfits made and things like that. And obviously I was all, from a very early age, you know, I was ironing my own school uniform. If I even dared to leave home with a crease shirt, it would have been, I mean, they would have been hell to pay. But
this is lost on this generation.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. And for me, I worry because obviously I've got a daughter, I've got a son as well, but I've got a daughter who's coming through, and you know, that whole comparison syndrome that you said, Louise, as well. Where do you think that's coming from? Who do you think is to blame? Is it social media, or is it, like you say, the magazines, or is it TV?
Social media plays a massive part in it. I tried to keep my kids off of social media for as long as possible, and I do think it plays a big part. I think it's there 24 hours of the day. Years ago, when we was young, it was a magazine and a newspaper, wasn't it? Like, there was no such thing as the internet. So you could only ever look at a magazine or a movie, you know, you saw people and that was it. It wasn't in your face 24/7. And another thing that doesn't help is there's these filters. Venezuela loves the filter. She like always has the filter. And I say, you don't need a filter, baby. You don't need it. And she's like, no, I just like it. I like it. But she doesn't like the one too strong, but the one that just sort of blemishes a bit. So but I think when young kids are looking at this false image all the time, and everyone has these big lips on the filters, and everyone has the perfect face and the perfect nose, nothing's perfect. And I keep just drumming that in. And now I feel like I've broke it through with my daughter, Venezuela. I feel like as she's matured this last year or so, dramatically in the last year, as a matter of fact, because she has actually started going on TikTok, making videos, just natural videos, talking just the way she is. And putting herself out there just as she is. There's no falseness. There's no like, oh, I can't say this, I can't say that, I don't want to show this, I don't want to show that. She'll go on with like sugar cream clacked on all her little spots, and she'll go on like dressing coat on or done up, and she'll just chat away. And I feel like that is more realistic and better for someone to see than just this perfect posed, poised image that we see all the time. But it's also parents letting kids do these things. I mean, I know it's okay to say, and you can't control your kids completely, but like if Venezuela came to me and said, like she did, I don't like this, I don't like that on my face, I'm like, don't be so stupid, don't be so silly, like, you're fine, you are fine. You know, reinstall that, and don't be like, yeah,
is
well,
enough,
if you don't
though?
Like it, let's get lip filler, you know, let's go get, let's get you a nose job, you know?
These
things that are happening with younger and younger children, I think the parents, it's your job to try and build up confidence instead of fixing the problem,
I hear what you're saying. Sometimes I feel like it's almost not enough, though. Like I've got three girls and I have twin 10-year-olds, and one of them, you know, will often comment like, why does my eyebrows join in the middle? Why have I got this little, you know, pimple here or something? And she'll point things out and I'll say, oh, sweetheart, it's just skin. It's just your features, you know, and try and sort of celebrate. But even at 10 years old, she's clearly seeing images that are completely, you know, smooth, perfect faces, you know, perfect eyebrows. And then when she compares that to what she's seeing in the mirror, even at 10 years old, you know, it's quite frightening.
Really,
so you do try and reinforce it, but I sometimes wonder whether that's even enough.
I don't think in this day and age you can judge yourself as the parent for thinking like, everybody questions just as a parent, don't you? Did I do that right? Did I do it right? But you, if you try your best, it's the best you can do, isn't it? So like you say, to say to them like, no, you're lovely as you are, don't be silly. I've got my daughter who's 8 and she hates the hair on her arms, and she really, really hates it. And she goes on, I've got hair on my arms, I've got hairy arms. Yeah. And it's like, baby, everybody has that. That's normal. It's normal. It's nothing wrong. But again, it's all this kind of body image, looking right, looking good. I mean, you've got all these little children doing skincare routines with their nails. Click, 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 click. And it's like, my kids do it. They mimic it. And I think you see it, because even though I limit how much they go on tablets and how much they go on YouTube, that's another thing. How annoying is the fact that everybody's telly goes on YouTube?
Your
telly in the living room. I walked in about a year ago. And the kids had YouTube on the TV. I was like, how have you got YouTube on this? I didn't know that existed, right? I'm really, really nerdy with these things. I don't know. And I couldn't believe it. I walked in, there was like, and now it's like a battle every day. You're not watching YouTube. You're not watching YouTube. Put a cartoon on, you know, you're not doing that. And I think there's just so much accessibility. And especially as a parent who's naive to it, like I try and be on the ball, but then there's always something to kind of undermine you as a parent. There's something new. There's a new tablet. There's a new phone. There's a new way to get it on the telly. There's access everywhere. So it's really hard to control that. I do think it's a great idea what they're bringing out about the age restriction on social medias. I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
That's interesting you say that, because obviously that's a big debate on our social channels around the social media ban for under 16s. And, you know, some parents will be like, yes, just ban, take the problem away from me, take all those battles and arguments away from me. There's enough that I have to monitor, like set parental controls, blah, 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 blah. You know, the list is endless. And like you say, having eyes on every single platform, device, and then
it's
school
so
homework
bad.
And everything, it's a lot. And I think also, though, there has to be, but the flip side of that is that some parents aren't so for the ban because they think there'll be other ways, that other sort of black holes online that kids will fall into that wouldn't have necessarily fallen into had the ban not been put into place. And I think also some parents might think that some social media channels are a support to their children, their teenagers. But the there is two sides to the argument, but I totally appreciate your point of view. I think also the onus is on a lot of tech companies as well. Because like you say, you bought that TV and it already had YouTube on it. That wasn't your choice.
No, you don't. And I didn't even know until the kids was watching it. I couldn't understand how they was watching YouTube on the telly.
Yeah. And that's and not what like, you want in your family. Mother,
but imagine if you're older and you're full-time business and you're working, you just don't know what your kids are accessing at home. Because you think, right, my kids don't have a phone or a tablet. But your seven-year-old's Googling everything on your television in the living room or in their bedroom.
Yeah.
I do actually, I try, like my kids don't have TV in their bedrooms. So I did, especially with the move now, I made sure because they had one before, but it never really worked proper. We bought a telly. It never really worked proper. So I just unplugged it and I left it in there. They didn't watch telly in the rooms. I think it's easier that way. Because then you're kind of watching what they've got. And if they do have tablets, you can take them away. It's monitoring what they've got. So.
Yeah, I never had it growing up and my kids don't have it
Me
now.
Me neither. Yeah, same. And we don't have a TV in our room either.
I think it separates the family. I do. I think it separates the family. I think if you've got one TV and you're all sitting in the front room and you're chatting and talking, I think that's nice. Obviously, it's not always like, you know, happy, happy home, but
no,
it is good to have that kind of involvement. But where if everybody's just separated off, like I'll shout my kids back, the teenagers like Venezuela or Prince, like if they go up to the rooms, they go, yeah, they've got privacy. But then after a while, I'm like, hello, come here, come down, sit in here, talk to me. To your family.
Look at me. Yeah.
I think you have to kind of do that and keep pushing for that relationship.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So this leads me to my next question, because the last time we spoke, we were at the launch of your Eternal Collagen supplements, which you are an ambassador for the brand. And I know they're part of your wellness routine, let's say.
Yes.
So I was going to say, how in all this chaos, how do you keep yourself grounded? Because I know you're into your well-being and your rituals. We talked about that last time. But do you want to share some other tips of how you stay grounded in the chaos?
I think it is I have to psychologically believe I can't get ill. I cannot get ill. So my way of dealing with that and my way of trying to assure that happens is I have always been prominently taking vitamins. I always took vitamins. My mum done it. My mum was raised in America, so I don't know if it was like an American sort of push product, but it was like, take your vitamins. So she, even when we was young, it was like vitamins. Everybody got a vitamin every morning. So I carried that on as I got older, and I found, you know, especially when I was lacking in things, I'd go anemic at times and I'd take like extra iron, extra vitamin C's, and all these different things to try and keep myself well. And then when I decided to work with Eternal Collagen, I looked at it kind of like skeptical. I'd heard of collagen. My mum took it. My mum had been taking it. She was like, oh my God, this is making my skin great. She took it for the last few years. And when they came to me, I was like, okay, collagen is something that you need for your skin. It puts the bounce back in your skin and it kind of makes you look good. And I'm not really one of them to be too bothered about. I mean, of course I want to look good. You know, I'll go and buy the good creams at times and I'll take the novelty.
We all like a little bit of help. Yeah.
Yeah, we all like a bit of help. But then I can go back to a bar of soap and a pot of Nivea. You know, it's one of them bounces. So as a woman, I then looked into it and I thought, well, that sounds good. I should do that. But then I asked, what else does it do? And Eternal Collagen had 19 essential vitamins in it. And none of the other brands on the market at the moment had that many vitamins. Or they may have had one or two, maybe three, but none of them had loads like echinacea to help you with your keep off flus and things.
Yeah, they your immune system.
All your different vitamins, all good for you. And I thought, you know what? That sounds great. I asked about it. We looked into the science. We looked into the different things. And I tried it. I tested it. And I said, I'm happy to endorse this. I don't believe in endorsing things that I wouldn't want to buy. I wouldn't endorse something, you know, just for the sake of it. I think you've got to, I've got great fans and I've got people who follow me and I don't want to tell them, you know, get this, get that. It's a load of rubbish. I looked into it and I found it was great. I started taking it and I felt the difference after a few weeks because
that's brilliant.
At that moment, I wasn't really taking a lot of my vitamins. I go through phases. I go through moments and I know I get like a bit of a twitchy eye when I know I'm run down. So I know that. My friend calls me a malfunctioning Barbie because the blonde hair and the eye going like this. She's like, you're malfunctioning again. So I felt
Why
a bit
you
like
up
that.
In the back?
That's what I need. She said to me, you look like a malfunctioning Barbie. She said, you've got to fix this. The eye's twitching, you know, the fingers are twitching. So I started taking it and I started to feel that bounce back in my step. I started to feel that bit of energy again. And I found another thing that happened after about a month or so. My nails was growing and I've never, ever been able to grow my nails. I still do bite them, but they were stronger. So I wasn't biting them because they wasn't snagging. So I found that I felt it was making a difference to me. So my hair felt better. My nails felt better. I felt good. And then when I took it for a few months, my full house come down ill, really ill.
Oh, God. Mm.
Everyone was ill. Everyone had the really bad bug that was going around and I didn't get it. So like every one of them got it, but it was in stages.
They believe in that.
Your kids love to do it in stages. Yeah. Like as one gets rid of it, the next
like
one
dominoes.
Gets it.
Yeah.
Like dominoes that last, instead of lasting 2 or 3 days, it lasts 2 or 3 weeks. So Tyson got it. The kids got it. All of them was falling ill. And I was just walking around like the immune person, like, oh, this is good. And I can only hold it to taking Eternal Collagen. So that is how I look after the kids. I basically know that I have to look after myself to look after all of them. And I just convince myself mentally, I can't be ill. That's it. I just can't.
We can't be ill as mothers.
We can't be ill. I find like if I do, it's just not good.
Yeah, everything is like the house of cards. It all comes down.
And I'm sorry, JB, but Tyson, I don't know if you're guilty, but if he has a cold, he's dying. He has man flu. And if I had the same cold, if we both had this cold, we both have a runny nose, we both have a cough, it's not the same. I've got a different one to you. It's not the same. So, you know, I think guys do get a bit more man flu, where even if I was feeling under the weather, I would push through.
Yeah, I mean, I can't hold my hand up and say that I'm part of that clique because I don't, work is work. And when it's on, I'm on. I literally have to not be able to move to call in sick. I don't get it because people who work in an office these days, I mean, they've got sick days, they've got sick pay, they've got sick everything. I'm like, I don't understand. How does that work?
It doesn't work for me.
I remember years ago, I always had that same method, that same work ethic. And when I was 16, I had a job in a beauty salon. So anyways, I felt ill this morning, but I knew I had a full column, so I had to go in. So I went in and it's really embarrassing and a gross story, but my nose was trickling on the tissue near this girl's nails.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I was like, I'm just doing your nails. And then the manager came over and she's like, you need to go home. I was like,
Yeah, we're going to start getting complaints.
The nails that must have been like, oh my God.
Oh, what a work ethic though. Love that.
Before we wrap up, because I know JB's got some quick fire questions for you in a minute.
Yes, indeed.
I want to just check in because I know you'd had, I saw a little glimpse of a very lavish ceremony of renewing your vows on the Netflix documentary, which looked fantastic. Was that in Thailand? Was that when you were away in Thailand?
No, that was in Nice. We have we have a big thing for the south of France and Nice, and we decided to renew our wedding vows. It was the third time. I have two wedding bands, if you can see there. So that was my engagement ring from when I was 17. And then I've got two wedding bands. I didn't put a third one on because I thought like there is no room there. But we got married when I was 18 and Tyson was 19, 20.
Yeah.
And then we renewed our vows in New York City just by ourselves years later. I only had the two kids at the time, so it was at least 10 years ago. And then Tyson asked me to remarry him. It was on the last show. And I thought it was like a joke. Like I thought, what? And then when we was off camera, like by ourselves, he's like, no, like, I think we really should. We should, like, it'd be nice. And I said, well, it would be nice. Like, yeah, it'd be lovely. So we ended up booking a ceremony when we was on holiday with the kids. And I said, Tyson wanted a full big gypsy wedding. He wanted a big party. I was like, come on, like, Tyson.
He is all or nothing.
And I did have to say, Venezuela was wounded by this conversation. He was like, you two are creeps. You are married. What are you doing? Like, she did not find it amusing at all. And I said, look, like, we're going to have to tame it in. It'd be nice for us, but we don't need to, like, have everybody there. It just needs to be a nice, simple ceremony. Mm. And it was beautiful. Like, and I haven't seen that episode. I'm dying to see it because I really want to see. Because I just saw it's like watching your wedding video. Whoever's been married and they got, and you wait for that wedding video to come back. So, which, by the way, they don't do anymore. They don't give you there's no such thing as a video or a DVD, is there?
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's just a file.
You just get a file,
file.
So Venezuela, I'm interested, and I've got to ask, and it's up to you if you tell me the answer, but if she's saying that she was like pulling faces when Tyson was asking for this big gypsy wedding. I'm guessing she's not rolling with that for her wedding.
Venezuela said when she gets married, she wants it to be a simple family wedding. So yeah, when she does it, that's what she said she wanted. She wants it to be. I say what a simple family wedding is to us is probably like a full crazy shebang.
With all the girls and boys,
our initial first, like, if you had aunts and uncles and cousins, there's like 100 people. So it's still
so a family wedding in your family. It's a huge wedding.
It's a big wedding. So intimate family wedding. The intimate would have to be blocked off. You know, crazy family wedding might be more the words, but that's what she said.
And she's not set a date yet, has she?
She's trying to figure everything out, but it's going good.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
How are you feeling about it all, Paris? Because, you know, this is like, I guess, the next big step for her, isn't it? Because she's kind of walking into her own adult future, really. I know she's still quite young, but, you know, it's going to be a big change. Obviously, I'm, she's going to move out and, you know, all those sorts of things that come with getting married and starting your own family and stuff like that.
Well, I've seen, obviously, Venezuela has been open with the fact she's getting married and she's excited and this is what's happening. Yeah. And our life is open. Our life is an open book because there's no point in trying to be private because we just don't work that way. it doesn't work. So, you know, people are interested in what we're doing. So Venezuela has had a load of negative output on the fact that she's getting married. People have had great opinions on the fact she's too young. You know, why is she, what was the term that I really stuck with me? She needs to live her life. I don't understand what part of this is not living her life. I don't get it. The two of them have got plans to travel. The two of them have got plans to get their own home. The two of them, she's got plans to carry on with her business endeavors that she's trying to work out at the moment, her social media platform, modeling things, different things that she's still taking on. I don't see it. I don't know if it's the way I've been raised. I can't see where she's not living her life. I don't understand it. She's in a relationship. They want to make it more concreted. They are taking that relationship to the next level and they are going to live their life together. My brain is baffled by the point of she's young. She shouldn't make these big decisions. But yet a 16-year-old could make a decision to travel to Australia and do 3 years in Australia. A 17, 18-year-old can make a decision to go to college in Denmark or in America, you know.
They're all serious choices.
They all include the parents' heart getting ripped out because they're going to leave the nest. You know, that's it. Whatever age they are, if your child decides to leave the nest, whatever day, I don't know, maybe if you had like a 29, 30-year-old son in the basement who just doesn't go, maybe you'd be pleased to let him, like, you go now, you go, you do you. But, you know, if you've got a young kid, 16, 22, 25, and it's the first time they're going to fly the nest, you're going to feel it. Like, all parents are going to have their apprehensions where they're feeling like, oh, I'm so worried. You see it on the movies where they go to college and the parents are crying in the room. That's going to be me. I'm going to be in the room crying. Yeah. But I'm so happy for her. Honestly, yeah, exactly me. And I'm really happy for her that she is, you know, that's her choice. That's what she wants to do. And she's happy. I see it in her so much compared to how she was maybe 12 months ago. She is so comfortable in her own skin, as in she feels more confident. She's so happy. She glows. She giggles. She laughs more. Where before it was always kind of like, you know, oh, well, what do people think? What would they think? What wouldn't they do? Right. You know, this Venezuela has really grown with confidence. And if that's the side I'm seeing, great. And I do look at the negative output. I understand. I'm not blind. She is obscenely young. And when she gets married, she'll still be young. But I don't see that point of people's opinion of like, she should live her life. She is living her life. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there's a little bit of negativity with like stigma and big opinions and not knowing like how our culture works as well. I think people have an opinion. And I try and step forward because I know loads of businesswomen in the travel community who like literally boss their way through. They do their kids and they do their work. And if they don't have kids, they go even better. Like they can be really successful women. But that just gets swept under the market, under the rug. And it's just like, oh, you're just housewives. You don't do anything. And I think that stigma comes with uneducated people who don't realize that we live in the 21st century and everybody's living in the 21st century. So here we are, hopefully promoting a good image.
Yeah, I think going back to what we were saying before with social media, everyone's got an opinion, right? And that's an outlet where everyone airs it. And if you're gonna, if you are gonna put yourself on those platforms, you are gonna get people's opinion, attract people's opinion. 100%.
And I have tried to train my kids to do not read them negative things. Mm. Do not read them. Yeah. If they're there, literally, you start to read it, you pass it by. I try and do the same. I can take it on board. The only time it kind of triggers me is when it's about the kids, because I think, you know, I'm
a bit below the belt.
Yeah, a bit below the belt. You know, you're picking on a 14-year-old boy. You know, you are some fully grown man or woman sitting at home telling my son you've got a weird shaped face. You all wouldn't do with that jaw and them teeth.
Yeah,
I think like how pathetic are you? Like, but for me, I don't take any heed to any negative comments, because I have said in the past that I really am vocal about this. I don't believe you should take on any negative opinions at all unless it's from your close family and friends. Nobody's perfect. I do not feel like I am above opinions, but I wouldn't take the opinion of a stranger. I would take the opinion of my close friends and family. So my mum says to me, you know, that don't look right. Okay, right. Okay, maybe I'll have a little look at it.
You'll take it.
I'll take it. But if a stranger says, you look weird, you look horrible, you look this, it's like, yeah, thank you, great.
Jog on.
jog on. And I'm trying to instill that into the kids, that all that there, you will get it. Even if you was doing everything right, being perfect, doing it all good, you know, you're going to have someone trying to pull you down and ignore them completely.
Yeah. Honestly, Paris, you are brilliant at advice. I love it. I feel like we need to instill you as Agony Horn or something, because it's just so great with your advice and your honesty as well. But I'm gonna hand you over to JB for a quick fire round. Sure.
Yes, I hope you're ready, Paris.
I am ready.
It's not anything too difficult, but we've just got a few questions that if you can answer quick fire would be brilliant for our listeners to hear. Okay, you ready?
Clear my mind. Okay.
Okay. One word to describe your household.
Crazy.
Okay.
We'll take that.
Yeah, we will take that. Okay, who runs the house, you or Tyson?
Me.
Yeah, I guess the answer to that one.
You're like, no brainer.
I probably should have added in kids to that one.
No, they're not involved. Me.
I hear that. Love that. Hardest parenting stage.
Teenage girl.
Okay.
Young. Because 12, 13, just kicking in.
New teenage girl.
Because 12 to 13 year old teenage girls, because they're so emotional. They cry at the slightest thing. They shout at the slightest thing. It's that Kevin and Perry phase. It's like, oh my God, you're so embarrassing. I hate you. And it you go through it. And I think you just have to ride the waves. Keep them grounded and just know that it changes. It switches up. But yeah, that one I found the hardest bit. And the sleepless nights on a newborn. The sleepless nights on a newborn are hard.
Yeah, that's pretty hard as well.
Yeah.
I definitely take that teenage one on board, because Ace is about to become a teenager.
He's just going to say, how old's your girl?
Yeah, so she's 7.
She's 7, okay.
Yeah,
so you've got a couple more years. They'll get a bit sassy around that age. They get a bit like, they start answering back and having opinions, but it's that 11, 12, 13, it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, and last one. One thing that you wish you'd known earlier.
About parenting.
Yeah. Or bringing up kids.
Yeah, something I wished I'd knew earlier. I'm going to go, because it's in my mind, I'd say that it can't be perfect all the time, and you shouldn't take on judgment, you know? I think like, you're doing good, you're doing the best of you, as long as you're trying your best. I mean, let's not go down the horrible negative road, but there is some parents that don't stand up to par in a very severe way, in very severe ways. But on a general basis, we all love our children. And if you love your kids, you're trying your best and you're putting your most effort in. And if some days it don't work, that's it. That's it. Everyone's the same. You know, don't take judgment on and think like everyone's looking at me like my kid isn't dressed right. They haven't got the right uniform. They don't have the right, like my kids have needed a PE kit. And this is so embarrassing, but my kids have needed a PE kit for about 6 weeks now. 6 weeks. I keep getting that message. Your kids need a PE kit. They need a PE kit. And they keep loaning, you know, the ones out the bag.
The last
you know,
property.
The ones they have to go. And my boy, who's 9, is like, I'm not wearing someone else's gym shorts again. I was like, I will get you a PE kit. I will get there. I'm trying.
It's on the list. It's on the list.
It's on the list. It's on the list. And I keep meaning to do it. And it hasn't happened. So, like, we all fail at times.
Yeah.
Just, that's it. So don't worry too much. Don't be hard on yourself.
Yeah. Don't put too much pressure
on yourself. I had that this morning when I was just about to leave the house and I got a message from my 13-year-old saying, you haven't booked a student performance day, which is like parents' evening. It's happening right now. And I was like literally putting my shoes on to leave the house. I'm like, you know, it's just like...
We all do it. I had parents' evening a couple of weeks ago and... I've got 4 in the one school, so and they was all at different times. It was really awkward. It was like, one was at the 3:30, one was at the 4:30, one was at 5:55. It's like, and I was late for the 2 in the middle. I was like completely late. Like I came home thinking I could come home and go back again. And I was like, and then I had to run in and I was like, the hectic mum, like, and it's a new school as well. So I didn't know where I was going. I don't know any of the teachers. And I was like, and you feel like that bad mum, like, I don't know what teacher I'm looking for. I don't know who teaches my child.
Like you haven't got it together. Yeah.
But we don't all have it together all the time. Mm. This stuff happens.
Yeah.
And I have kind of grown with that. I think that's, you learn to grow with that. Like now I'm like an experienced parent. I don't really care. Where years ago,
that would have been a big deal.
And I used to think, oh, the mums are looking at me. I don't know where the class is. And now it's like, you know, hey, I'm kind of like that bad teacher. Like, whoa, where I'm coming. You know, it's good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it. I just love the way you talk openly and realistically and super grounded as well. And I'm sure a lot of parents will appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Makes you feel less alone, right?
I hope so. If I can help anyone, that's good.
Paris, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Paris. You have been absolutely wonderful and we have loved having you on the NetMoms podcast.
Like such interesting, honest chat and brilliant advice. I loved it. So if you enjoyed this parenting conversation and you'd like to hear more about family life, need support or reassurance, you can find it at netmoms.com and on the NetMoms socials. If you enjoyed this episode, hit follow, leave a review and come and join the NetMoms community where the real parenting conversations are happening.